Hang on 1 second, Keith. Pardon? Hang on, no, you can have it. Somebody took my pen here. Oh, I got it. My pen's right in front. Okay.
On my report.
Amen.
People are calling saying it's the wrong code. It's week too late for Zoom.
That's the code I used to get in.
Our computer phone is talking. Zoom people can't hear.
Okay. Bottom right says leave.
I think it was me.
Let's try it again. Okay. The third item I wanted to share is that we have a vacancy. We have a vacancy on the board, and if we have anybody interested, please submit a letter indicating your interest in being on the board and what you think are characteristics that you possess that would be helpful to the board in their decision making. So get that turned in. You can turn it into the office, and then we might be able to take action in our March meetings. One thing I may or may not add to number 9 as an F. Okay. Did the ACC act on any applications at their meeting last week? Yes. They did.
Yes.
So do we have a candidate or candidates to? Oh, didn't have one. Okay. So we're still waiting for Thomas Clark to get to a meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
April 1st,
he's the
chair
of the
president.
Okay.
So there will be
three
vacancies by April 1st. Okay. I think you said ads. You have people. He's talking about applications.
No, he's talking about people sit on the board. That's who I'm talking about. I think we're on the same page. Could be wrong. Okay, moving along to item number 6. Looking for a motion to approve the minutes of 2-2-21.
I make the motion.
Second is Terry. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Looking for a motion to approve 2-8-21.
I didn't get those minutes back.
You don't have any minutes?
2-8?
We can't vote on that. There was a draft done, but it has not been updated yet. So there's more to be added to those minutes.
Okay.
So that will have to be tabled.
Treasurer's report.
Okay, everybody, I hope has a summary sheet. January, and we look at the very top. year, $35,808. And our expenses for January, income for January were $61,633. Total expenses were $94,149. And therefore, we spent more than we spent this month. So, at our, we get the income in the last 2 months. But we spent $32,516 more than the audience. Our year to date total income is $694,693. Anticipated income still to come in is $641,115. Our income is at 52% of what we're going to get. And according to 4 months to review, if we're on schedule, it would be 33%. So we're a good 20% above income. And then the total expense is, this month was $373.49, $493. The anticipated spending yet to come is still $962,315. So we're spending in 28% of our budget. You'll notice that's below what we should be referring to, which is 33%. Okay, so we're doing our own income, we're doing our own spending. And what happens in May is $1,905,000. Anyway, that's the report. I'd like to talk after we approve that. But that's what happened this month of January. What we spent, what we brought in, what we spent, yearly, what we brought in, what we get on running, and what we're paying. And the opportunity is
okay, so we await a motion to approve the treasurer's report. Paul?
I'll second.
Moved in second. Okay, any discussion? All right, I'll call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign.
Okay. If you'll look at your summary there, I've had some kind of requests of how we are doing. Now, if you want to know how as the park we're doing, is you take the amount of money we have in the bank, which is just short of $2 million. Now, we've still got to spend some of that this year. But if you look at how much we're anticipating in the budget to spend, that's still $962.315, okay? So if you took that away from what's in the bank, that would still leave us close to $1 million to have left. Also, we're still planning on getting some more money, which is the anticipated income, which is $641,000. So by the end, if we stick to the budget, and which we are kind of under the budget now, so I think we will have this amount at the end of the fiscal year, which would be about $1.5 million. Okay. Now I would like the board or somebody to look at the possibility of something we haven't budgeted for this year because we are do having extra money, and there seems to be a big request for sidewalks, which. Sharia has looked at it before, and she tells me it should be someplace between $200,000 and $250,000 to do all the sidewalks. We need to get some new bids and stuff on that, but I would like to have a look at that this year. Even though we haven't budgeted, we do have the funds available to us, and I'm hoping when I come next year's budget, these extra funds will be more assigned to different areas we can keep. But we do have the extra funds right now. It seemed to be a large request for the sidewalks especially. And so it's just my suggestion that we look into something like that, if you wanted to discuss that or do anything with that, Jack.
at this point, it would make sense if Sheree secures some bids for us.
What I'd like to add is, if the board approves getting the sidewalks done, I can contact these contractors and let them know that we are serious. Right now, it's 2 years in a row, and they're pretty much saying, yep, sure, but you want your sidewalk done. But if I get an approval, then I can tell these folks that, yes, we're serious this time, and yes, we want to get this done. So if the board could discuss it further, that would be great. And, you know, I mean, get some solid figures, for sure.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I know from what we had in the here talk about, people are interested in the sidewalks, and we talked about it in our meeting previously. If you want to bring up, it has been talked about before, that we are required to keep a certain amount of money in the bank. Keep perhaps you know exactly, is it a percentage, is it 6 months of bills, is it a year of bills, and what the anticipated expenses, what's our requirement as the entity that we are?
Your answer. Intervention, here comes the answer.
I forget to turn my leash off. Anyway. I'm not real sure, but I think it's like 50 or 60% of what your budget is what you need to
so
keep.
So you could find that out what that exact amount would be, and then put that as a line on the page so that it's shown, and then with what, or even a little more, like, you know.
At least we can put a number on there that we're trying to keep as reserve for extra cost of,
And then I'm wondering, did you talk about, Sheree had planned, I believe, and not necessarily recently, we talked about it, but I remember last year, having goals for years in the future,
reserves.
If we could put those down as a line item, like we have all of our other ones, and just say, you know, say we have $500,000 out there to use. Make a decision of how much we're going to spend in certain lines for future projects. If we're going to spend the $250,000 or whatever, it might be up to $300,000 for sidewalks just now. Who knows what it's going to be, but, you know, spend that, and then whatever's left, make those decisions about the future projects so that in a year or 2 years or 5 years, we put in every single year a little more until we've got money.
That's what our goal is to, for the 21-22 budget, is to have a comprehensive reserve chart of accounts where the money is put into those accounts, but they're funded every year with the life of whatever project needs funding, the roads, the roofs, the pool, the deck, so that when it comes time to replace these items, the money will be there. And we don't have to take out a loan. We won't be surprised. Oh, guess what? The roof needs to be replaced. Well, yes, we know that. And guess what? We have the money because we've been funding these accounts. So we plan on doing that with this budget, and it will be turned in with the budget. You know, the whole reserve accounts. And I believe it's $600,000 that needs to be in the bank. It can't be touched.
I like it.
So if I can say something in that piece, the more research on and came up on the American Civility Center, states and the state of Florida that all sidewalks have to be built to their expectations. Sidewalk, I have a sidewalk, fitness, material use, and that's kind of thing. So, I just want to make you aware that if you get it, do some research on the record, you'll have a lot less paperwork than
The sidewalk building company in Florida know that already and do it by law. I would think that we would have a recourse if they didn't. Or do we have to say that in our
You mean anything we discuss, we have to have a motion before we can discuss it?
That is correct. That is a common procedure.
We do.
Discuss the comments every meeting without motion. That's correct. That is a sort of error that we're meeting.
So we'll wait
for
that.
So we'll table this for the moment. Thank you for your idea, Keith.
The thing is, though, if we don't get some kind of motion or something going on, Sheree won't be able to really to go out and say, hey, the board is serious about this, and they have allowed some money toward this, an adequate amount that we will cover this, I think.
So we need a motion in order to give Sheree permission to get
not permission, just that, so she can go to the people and say the board has given us some money, because we've done this the last couple years. Go out and get some bids, and then we don't do anything with it. They're not going to put all the time and effort into a bid for the whole park without something that shows that we're serious.
I'd like to make a motion that we allocate a budget of $300,000 a day. We have a full
I have a problem to
do the final work here, but
she has to be able to go out and
close,
and then we'll serious about it.
There's a second.
Who
did that?
Yeah. Keith? Yeah. And of course, we're going to be here. We're going to go and get the best bids that we can, and the board will analyze them, and you know, compare them, and hopefully it won't be 300, but at least that gives us a starting point. So if it doesn't mean, oh, we've got 300,000, let's go crazy. No, we'll definitely do our best to get the appropriate bids that we need to get the job done.
Thank you.
Keep in mind, Sheree, as you're contacting them, and you have it in the RFP, the ADA regulations need to be followed.
Okay. Any discussion from the audience? Mr. Pryor.
Bruce Krebs, I'm going to be able to do it. Many years ago, when we redid the roads under a Mr. Anderson, it turned into what we asked for. At that time, I made a suggestion. Now, I don't know if it's in line with ADMA. I said, rip out all the sidewalks, do the hot top right over there, and paint a line, just like some of the areas we got. Much cheaper than concrete. I don't know if we can do that. That's something we should look into. And Becky, you can remember when we did the roads the first time, we had a problem up in the orchard. The ants had never left the office, and they did the road that far down from us. You know, the driveways. Then they have to go back and redo it again. That seems to be the way we do everything. We pay it 2 and 3 times. And then about 6 years ago, we redid the roads again. And frankly, a lot of the roads are in bad shape right now. I don't understand that. But it's something we can look into doing away with the concrete if we can, if it's acceptable. It's much cheaper because you can repair hot top much easier than paint concrete and at much less cost. Just an idea.
Any other comments?
I would really recommend having a criteria list before you get the pulse. They need to be able to stand garbage trucks around the house. And so that's a problem with a lot of the asphalt that I've seen around. There isn't a subbase there to hold that weight. And I'm sure there's another criteria that if you have a team together, you can come up with here's exactly what we want.
I would love an opportunity if there were some people who'd like to get together and have a committee so that the residents could be more involved with this. That would be great. I had a starting point, like I said, 2 years in a row I got nominated. However, if the residents would like to be more involved, that would be just wonderful.
So let's say if there are people who are interested, have some working knowledge about this, see Cherie so she doesn't have to try to contact other people. You're a volunteer, let her know so that she can let you know when they're get together for a meeting.
Beautiful. There's many areas where you walk in the park, and the blacktop is all thrills and security. I would rather see the sidewalks. It's much nicer, and I think it's much safer. Unless that blacktop, you just go up and down and turn on and cause it to deteriorate. Thank you.
Any other comments?
So, Mark. And I just, from under the mask, you're saying you prefer concrete as opposed to blacktop. Okay. All right. I just wanted to be sure.
I'm not sure. I think one of the problems that our park has, we use the word here, let's put a committee together, and we get people who have some experience, but not a lot of experience in all these different. Park really needs to start looking at having an engineering slash architectural firm on almost a daily. So that when we come up with ideas, okay, when we put it out to bid, we're not doing it three times value, we're doing it three times long. If we get somebody who comes in and says, here's what legally you got to do, here's the right way to do it, they actually put it out to bid, they do the homework, we don't have a problem. I just see this compounding of problems in the park year after year after year. Everything we do. It's the smallest detail. It's the right people that know what they're doing and think about that approach.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
The only comment I would have, the concrete is nice, but I ask stuff in the orchard where the concrete is broken. Because trucks drive over it. So like Bob says, it really would be nice to have an architectural firm. And understand, this is I know we don't like to call it a trailer park, but it is homes for us. And these homes drive over and off those sidewalks. So they need to hold a lot of weight, just like Mark was saying too, with the garbage, or not Mark, but with the garbage trucks. And the stuff they get up there. So whatever we do, Bob was saying, we need to make sure we have some engineer who knows what the weight is and what these sidewalks have to go through. They're not like the ones in the city where do you need the weight? Oh, right here by the driveway. We don't need it up here so much thickness where people are just walking. So these sidewalks are driven on quite a bit. All over the place. So, yes, I agree with Bob that we need to get some engineers in and somebody else to blame. So.
Well, we also have to realize that nothing is going to last forever. There's always going to be preventative maintenance, no matter what you use, what material. We just have to research what is the best for our facility. But there's always, it's always going to be a maintenance issue, no matter what. The roads, the sidewalks, it's just the way of the world. So we're just going to find the best product for what our needs require. That's all I have to say.
Any other comments?
If not, let's take a look at the motion.
Carol, do I have it correct?
There's a $300,000 ceiling for the sidewalk repair. All right. All in favor, raise your right hand. You notice we're very good. We all had our right hand up. I'm going to say raise your right hand as I'm sitting here with my left out instead. Okay.
District manager's report.
Well, it seems we've been keeping our attorney a little busy. Process server from the sheriff's office has served 8 individual summons to 437 Holiday Park Boulevard. This includes the siblings of the original owners, which are now deceased, and the alleged residents occupying the premises. They have 20 days to respond to the clerk of court. If they do not respond to the clerk of court, the case will go in front of a judge, at which time we are hoping an injunction will be granted to remove them and condemn the home, as they still and have been living there for over 1 year with no running water. Number two.
Sheree, could I just add that this 20 days to respond is 20 weekdays, so it's really like 4 weeks. They don't count Saturday and Sunday, as I read Carlos.
Okay, correct.
Correct. Okay.
Correct.
I know we got sharp listeners. And I don't want them all in a dither because 20 days are gone and they're still here.
And what they have to do is they have to submit a letter in writing to the judge. They actually put it in escrow with the clerk of courts, and it goes in front of the judge. This is not a monetary thing, so it's not an eviction. So there's no moratorium on this. This is clearly a violation, a health code violation. We're getting code enforcement and health department involved, and we're just praying that that the judge does issue an injunction so we can get it condemned, in which case they will give them, say, 24 hours. They usually serve it on a Friday, which in turn gives them a full weekend to vacate the home. If they do not, then the locks will be changed, and they will forfeit anything that's in that home. And then we will get a restraining order restraining order, so they will not be able to come onto the property. Mr. Lesser has submitted a progress report from 244 Holiday Park Boulevard. I have forwarded this to the attorney. His response, I quote, "The case you find him on only has to do with the age restriction, and has he fixed that yet? The rest was not part of the fine case, which means he really hasn't remediated the violation. He has painted the roof of the home, which is in preparation for the sale. However, there's been no remediation so far as finding the minors a place to live. I again told Mr. Blasser that right now at the public libraries, there's $18.8 million available in rental assistance. I offered this information to him. I don't know if he used it or not, but it's definitely there. And all he has to do is go to the public library and fill out an application." I'm not an attorney, however, with working very closely with this, I would say yes. Yes, I would say absolutely. I believe so. I have talked to the attorney, and he is under the idea that we have to give him the full 90 days. However, Carol, I don't believe so. I believe that the agreement was he had 2 weeks to come up with some kind of answer or some kind of initiative to find these folks a place to live, and he has not. So, yes, I mean, I agree with you. I will follow up on it. You're welcome. After researching 441 Holiday Park Boulevard, it was in fact purchased by Buffalo Bill LLC in the amount of, are you ready? $40,408.08. They have not submitted an application. Once the application is submitted, and I have contacted him and tried at his personal residence at least 6 times, but leaving messages. The LLC is in Vero Beach. There's no phone number, there's no contact information other than a P.O. box. So I spoke to the attorney. A letter is being drafted to advise them of the violations and that they are required to submit an application. They will also be given a list of the violations of the home and given 30 days to correct the violations. However, the application will not be approved because the home is derelict and it needs to go. There's no carport. 441 is the home that it's yellow, it's on the corner, and it has no carport. So this is has been long in work, so hopefully within the next 5 weeks, we can get an injunction and get that one out of here as well. Letter is being drafted and will be mailed to Kathy Center, 220 Charm Court, regarding the brook skirting around her home and the colony of cats living underneath. Ms. Sentner has ignored the district's letters of violation. The attorney will be following up, and this will be resolved. Carl Bone, Terry Steimer, Joanne Gagan, and myself had a conference call with the City Community and Development Economic Development Director. Their attorney and the real estate agent has been contracted to market the sale of the 9 Pompeo homes. We explained that we need Pompeo to sign the permits in order for the demo company to remove the homes. They said they will meet with the other departments to discuss this further. I spoke to Cummings Pest Control. Currently, they have used over 200 blocks of rat bait. That was just for the underneath outside of the homes. We're hoping this will motivate the city to allow either Holiday Park to remove them and add the demo fee to the sales contract upon the sale of each home. Also, Holiday Park, with the suggestion of our legal counsel, will indemnify Palm Bay of the responsibility of getting clear title. Right now, I'm waiting for Palm Bay to schedule another conference call with us. Flawless Lawn Care has mulched the green spaces in the park. It looks great. It was a savings of over $1,000 as opposed to us purchasing bags and distributing it, which would have taken probably a couple of months. Maintenance is working on several projects. Overhang on the bocce and shuffleboard courts have been painted. Sidewalks are next, weather conditions permitting. Maintenance installed a new faucet and sink in the laundry room. Jim, do you like it?
Yes.
All of the dead wires were removed from the ceilings in the dining hall. Existing wires were tacked up neatly. All of the flags at the entrance and the clubhouse have been replaced. In the future, we will be ordering a larger flag for the entrance to the park. We will be presenting plans for the sink area beautification across from the lobby restrooms at the March workshop meeting. I just want to make this available, or this information. A census letter is in print right now, and this will be mailed out to all of the residents in the park with a self-addressed return envelope. So we're hoping that everybody will participate and return these back to us. It just gives us a better handle on who's here, gives us a better handle on how many renters we have, how many permanent residents, how many seasonal residents we have as well. It's really a good piece of information for the park. And just, you know, I know I don't have my mask on at this moment,
But thank you all for being conscientious and wearing your masks in the building. Thank you.
Just one comment. Can you hear me?
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have it. I need you to know all our hosted lessons open to be served.
Actually, we're looking at this machine, and if we get this machine, I don't know, we're researching it right now, but I've ordered 5 boxes of 500, so if we get this machine, and it's a trial period, we're just going to go ahead and stamp every envelope, and we're saving 10 cents per postage, so even if we only use it for 3 months, it's going to pay for all of our mail out. So we're researching it. But thanks for bringing that up. So we're not positive how it's going to turn out, but we'll have definitely a savings by using that bulk mail thing. Oh, we have to remember that we have the other mail out coming for the budget in June. So that's another 700 and plus. Well, the letter we're sending out for the census, and then there will be a cover letter with it. And in that cover letter, of course, we're going to mention violations and just reminders for folks when they go back up north to please, please have somebody take care of your property. Have the weeding done, pressure wash it, remove the trees growing in your gutters. It's just going to be a friendly reminder that, you know, we really, really don't like having to deal with this, and it just makes more work for us over the summer. So it's just a reminder to everybody to please take care of your properties.
My own house. Oh, you called in your office. That's what that is. Either you can go to the website, either you can go under finance, you'll see the budgets, and
we have only budgeted 500. I thought that figure sounded familiar to me, and it is true. We have budgeted 500, so. It's definitely going to exceed that because of we didn't plan on a census.
Any other questions?
Except for
do we need a motion
for what? To district manager, yes. Well, just a report.
I know, I don't understand why they approved it. Can you come up?
You're a little temporary on this, so just real quick on that census. May I suggest that you add a question on there is, have you been vaccinated or not? And ask people to share that information if they wanted to, strictly voluntary. But that would perhaps give the board some critical information as to when and how they will open up on our activities. It's really easy to close things down, a lot harder to open things up. That was my suggestion. That's it. Have you been vaccinated? One or two doses? Whatever.
I can answer that for you real quick. It went into print on Friday, so we can't add, delete. So it's the envelopes are being printed, and so is the census. I apologize for not, if it doesn't meet everybody's. I mean, we didn't want to make it really long and cumbersome because we want them returned. That's the whole purpose of it. And if you have a 3 or 4 page census, you're not going to get them back. And that's another reason why we're sending a self-stamped envelope with them.
All right. Number 9A generated all sorts of heat, light, and stress about number of renters in the park and the accusation that there are board people who want to get rid of the renters. I don't know where that comes from, but I don't think anybody at this table expressed such an opinion. The whole thing, and I wish people would get the full story before they start getting on Facebook and stirring up all kinds of issues. The question was, last meeting, how many renters as opposed to owners do we have in the park? And so we put it on the agenda so we could give you a report to say 25% of our residents are renters. All that was to give you this report. And we had people with their blood pressure way up at 200, thinking that somebody on the board up here was going to try to get rid of everybody who was renting. 25%.
When I was looking on this the last time, I had expressed to you that the number on that report was incorrect. They need to know the column on that report. There are people living in the park that are not hiring, but significant others.
And the second person was listed as a renter. That is way corrected to be corrected. With the free. Yes, I am on Facebook and on Facebook.
You
know, my
doors are
locked. That's correct.
Yes. That won't solve anything. Bruce, in response to your question about what are the numbers, as best as I can quickly total, it looks like it's about 170. Our renters. Non-owner resident.
Right. They're just a resident. Right. A non-owner, maybe. So maybe there's a way to. So maybe there's a way to straighten that out and get a better, accurate page. We're working with FilePro, and yes, there is a way to do it, and we're in the process of figuring that out right now.
Was there a question about LLCs?
Terry, that's another whole point.
I spoke with legal counsel, just bounced it off a few people here in the park. And yes, LLCs are a problem. And there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. When an LLC comes in and they, under the title of LLC, they can have anybody, amount of people, right, as long as they only have one. But it's under an LLC. So if you have an LLC and then you have 10 people under that LLC and each one of them purchases a home, in actuality, it's run by the LLC. So, you know, there's been some discussion on when someone purchases a home, should we have a rule stating, well, you have to live in your home for 3 years or you can't rent it for 3 years post-purchase. These are some things I think the residents need to really be aware of and discuss, or maybe it has to go out for a vote amongst the community. You know, obviously the people that own more than one are grandfathered in, but I think this is something that the park is going to have to address at some point. It's really, it may become a problem right now. I see it, 441, for example. This guy has no clue where this property is. He bought it for over $40,000. The vacant lot isn't worth $40,000. $30,000 would be stretching, pushing it immensely. But he, $40,000. And I mean, I called the property appraiser's office, tax collector's office, so I'm positive it was sold at an auction. Now, that's an LLC. This guy doesn't know what he has. So I'm just bringing it to everybody's attention that it should probably be addressed and really thought about in the future.
Anna Marie, didn't you come up with a name in your search of titles on this with 441?
Coons. Yeah. Mr. Koontz, K-O-O-N-T-Z. Alfred, correct.
Okay. A little concerned on this, the LLC issue. This is a really big challenge. They can, LLC,
December 17th.
He bought it back in the tax office, the Brevard County issued a letter, I think, to the park office. He sent one to the ACPOA president Mark Shear saying that the property was going to be sold at a tax auction. Okay, we were notified. We weren't notified who was going to buy it at that time.
That's because it was an auction.
Bill bought it, LLC, and he had no idea what he was doing. And now, across the street from him, at 438, Wyatt Howe, LLC, recently bought that property. And who gives a hoot? They are buying property. That's when I suggested that if you're going to buy a property, and I need the board's cooperation on this, you need to make a rule that an LLC or anyone buys a property and not rent that property for 3 years. They get an HOA or a board rule, okay? And that's pretty standard for other HOAs in the state of Florida. That will prevent them. They can't get any revenue. They can't get any revenue for 3 years. Okay? They're probably not going to buy it. Okay? They're probably not going to buy it. That makes problems. They're buying bubbles. And then Wise LLC bought 438 Holiday Park. The next day, it was on apartment.com for rent. Okay, on apartments.com for rent for $1,075 a month.
Bruce? Oh, Joanne?
The only way to have what your bill proposed is to make a change in the restriction, which is why I'm probably now going to end the meeting. I was going to suggest or ask if the board would consider having just a special meeting with the board and the residents to discuss changes they would like to see in our deed restriction. That's all that meeting would be for. You're going to have several of those. Because when it's then finally evaluated and written up, it then has to go to the attorney, their legal writings, and then send it out for the majority of residents to approve. Big deal. If you've got to, if you want to start these, you've got to start now, and it has to start with discussion. And you've got to start writing what changes you would like to see in deed restrictions. We are not in mission of, we do not follow those rules. We have to follow our rules. And that's the only way that you make those changes.
Just one correction. It is the majority of the owners, not the residents, to take a vote. Top chair, please, probably. I'm going to take something. If somebody would pay $41,000, I'm going to use that figure. That person did us a favor. I'm going to tell you how they did us a favor. What they did was they bought the last 7 years worth of tax. And all the interest. So that's what's going on that property. As soon as that person doesn't realize what they have, they're going to send somebody out to look at it. And come May 1st, they're not going to put another dime on that home. Guarantee it. On another dime. This is where this park has to step up and go down there and pay $2,200. I'm throwing a round figure out. That will be the total amount of our fees and the total taxes of our with $2,200 within 30 days, the Bar County and all they will send to the back check for $2,000. You'll be now $200. Guaranteed, I'll put the money in. In 2 years, you'll be out $400. You now own your property, you can put it up to sale. And you own that property, $400 total cost. That's how simple it is in the place. You needed somebody to take that first initial hit. That initial hit is enough. Do your research, guys. We can own that property within 2 years. Instead of waiting and everybody keep putting money on it, and 7 years and we have $40,000 on it.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that. However, at the end of 3 years, is it our property or?
No, that's the one, you have 2 years. That's why I'll be in the third year. After 2 years and 1 month, so you can, 2 years, 1 month, you go to Brevard County and say, I want an auction. Any of these properties can be auctioned after 2 years. But if there's tax certificates on it, all that money is going to auction.
Yes.
It's all open to everybody.
Yes.
And if somebody wants to come in and give us $5,000 for something that we only have $400 in, have less. Bruce will tell you, we're not in the business of making money. But if you asked him, I only knew that I could buy it back for $400. Would you not buy it back for $400?
That was my point.
What we can do. Get those old units on. All I'm saying is, please, look at May 1st and see if this guy is not paying the tax on that property. I spoke to Lisa Cummings. I see you ever, she's the Brevard County tax person, 10 years ago. She told me, if we call her in advance, she'll put us at the top of the list to be able to get that property because we're already in it. She's willing to work with us.
Well, for this particular property, though, since he is the owner, he's on the deed, what we can do is definitely get an injunction and say, you know what? You're no different than anyone. You've got 30 days to clean it up or it's out of here.
He's not going to care.
Well, then what we do is we no, we get the house removed. That's the purpose, is to get these rat infested derelict homes out of here.
I don't want to name the number.
Okay.
And I know what you're going to say. But in some May, I'm just going to use May, the end of May when they hold that election, if Karen Foote goes down there and buys that for $2,200, that's the number. She can go down there and buy it. You can have all the freaking needs and all the things you want to get. She's paid the taxes. There's no taxes on them. That's what you need to understand. Because she's going to expect to make money on that property. 4 years later, this lady, and it just keeps going on and on for 7 years. On the 8th year, she lost her money. On the 9th year, she lost her money. That's how it's governed in Florida. Please.
So how do you get the house?
What's that?
How do you get the house? How do
you know? That's why this property has been here for 15 years. When that person bought that, okay?
This is going to take
she
off.
Doesn't know what the property is. She's in Ohio. She's worked out to know where. She looks it up, and it says $2,500 for a on that property. But it says $2,300 because our fees are included in the tax.
Right.
So they're not looking at something that's only $100 in taxes. They're looking at something that's going well over $2,000 worth of taxes. Now they go to a chart over here for Clark County. If it's worth taxes on property for $2,200, what's the value of the house? That's why they think they're buying something for $200,000. And then after they realize it, they go, I call them, the manager Park, I called these people, I said, why in the world would you buy a derelict mobile home? You guys said, I didn't buy no derelict mobile home. I said, hey, here's the address, here's what's owed on it. He says, yeah, but the taxes are $2,500. That means property value is worth $250. It says it's a mobile home and our fees are included in the tax. And they go, oh my God. And I tried to all of them, said that's not a problem. Nobody wants to spend the money in it. You got to buy it back in 2 years.
You got to buy it back.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If it comes bad, go buy that property.
How do you buy it?
Go Lisa, who's the Clark County tax line. You contact her, she'll put you at the top of the list. Because that will be, there'll be hundreds of properties. Hundreds. Okay, because people don't pay them in first. We have people who weren't going to pay 2 or 3 years. They didn't have money. And this is what people do. And they auction them off. They don't auction the property. Auction the tax certificate, and they get that at 18% interest. So if they put $3,000 down using a round number, and you don't pay it a year later, you get 18% interest. That's why that property is $1,000 because it's 18% interest added more from 7 years ago.
I've had a number of sessions like this, some privately, some in group like this. I think what we need is a little seminar someday where people who are interested in finding out the ins and outs can do that. Bruce.
Bruce Stratfield, why did you name me for it? The number is that we'll I would be interested in this thing of tax difference. In the trustee book, you will find two letters from me involving from the Rat County tax certificates. New people, you don't have it. Watch you're in the office. The biggest problem we have is how is it going to do this?
No, actually, you're dumbest from the area in the fight. To do a tax
in my state, if you don't pay your taxes here, you have a lien on your house. Second year, you have a lien on your house. It doesn't matter if it's a lien on your house. Now, all you have is people go to the joint and buy a house. They have no idea what they're buying. They have
investment. There was a gentleman, I think it was last year, when Barry passed, if I remember right, Sharia, he came in and bought the house in Barry.
Bought the house in Barry.
He was an LLC.
He was an LLC.
No idea. He just came in and had an eye on himself. And the problem is, going back to the deed restriction, you can't prevent these people from buying a house except they buy it at auction. That's one of the problems. We have houses in here that have tax certificates for 10 and 15 years. We had a lady down near the maintenance shed that came to the meeting and said, I never paid an assessment in all day time. She owed 9 years, I think it was. The house was finally sold at auction. We lost our money. When it is sold at auction, we lose everything. I don't know the true answer to this. I did the work on it. Bob Sherry did a lot of work on it. I do know it's a bad problem, and I'm not sure the total answer, but if we have to start buying certificates, let's buy. We have another lot here, which I got involved a couple of years ago. And I never get to do this. We have a lot in Holiday Park that has never had a house on it. I got the number, I don't know what it is. Never had a house on it. And the chairman of the board at the time asked me if I looked into it. And I called up the guy, and I talked with him. He said, well, I own 4,000 properties. Wonderful. He said, I want to give it the property in the Holiday Park. And I said, well, there's a problem. We don't want it. And I said that for two reasons. And the chairman agreed with me at the time. Because number one, if there's a tax certificate sold, we get our money. I don't even know if you can build a house in the lot. It might be too small. But I understand that they never had a water meter on it. And the city and I, they wanted to charge them $14,000. That was my note right now. I don't even know if that's true.
Bruce, we're going to set a precedence here. Once we get rid of the 9 escheated homes from Palm Bay, I think this is going to give us more insight on how to deal with the other 11 or 12. What I'm waiting for is to get rid of these, get them out of here, get them sold, get new houses. This will give us a precedence on how to deal with these coming down the road. And then from there on, we can deal with these, especially this is why the census is important. So we don't get these derelict homes and abandoned homes. We'll have a good handle on it, but you know, I think we set the path, thank you, but now we're getting to the point where we're seeing some action. So I hope that kind of puts everybody in mind.
I applaud the work you've done, Sheree. And finally, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, our county showed hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to move their spreadsheet on how much they're owed. They finally started forcing on us. And that's the best thing that ever happened because they're forcing me on. So that basically is the outcome of what I've done. That's what the trustee does.
I think this is not a problem, but what will help me do what you said, and we need to pursue the violation issue, and we need to go that way. We need to look at the tax inventory and find that the position we have right in our hands now is all paid up. I'm not delinquent on anything. That's the way I went through my violation, but I think you're going to have that.
Right on.
Mr. Chairman, I'm working with you.
The idea of limiting the amount of fees on the agenda for the next meeting. Terry, I think Joanna made a really good point. You can't do anything. This is the deed restriction. Y'all have to vote on this. You know, if you change the legally, we can't stop LLC from coming in here. That's the problem. I spoke to the lawyer. Yeah. And we have to change the deed restriction to reflect that. And yeah, this is what Joanne's trying to establish: is we need to get a group together to get a vote
of the resident, of the owners to change your deed restriction to reflect that something to do with LLCs, renters, however it's presented, so you don't have this problem with these big companies coming in and buying 10 and 15 homes at a time, or one of them. No, I think we should, but I don't know what else we can do without having a committee. The lawyer says that we have to allow this, but in order to change it, you have to have a vote. I don't know. I don't see how bringing it up again, we're just saying we can't do anything about it until we change the deed restriction. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Awesome. Yes. So, yes, there should be a special meeting. Maybe not at a board meeting, but a special. You're on the right. Yes. Agreed. 100%.
Does it need to be a meeting of, we have to be under the sunshine law if all of us are here? Okay, so the special meeting needs how much of the notice? I'm looking at your calendar.
7 days.
Should we go ahead and do next week? Get it
started?
Once we break from this room, it just takes time to
do things.
I make a motion that the trustees
call a
special meeting.
Mm-hmm. How about Tuesday?
Tuesday, March 2nd. I like the morning. At 10 o'clock. To discuss
only.
I'll second that motion.
Any further comments?
About 2 years ago, I think it was Jack who appointed a deed restriction committee. And Gaston was on the board chair, myself, we had two or three meetings. We had made a bunch of proposals. I have the copy. I circled a lot of things we were going to change. So, Becky, you got the same thing I have that we did with that year.
I have a copy.
I would think if we have this many copies in circulation, we should get one to the office, get copies, so you have it in advance as well.
We have one.
Okay, any other discussion?
Come on, can you hear me? Well, the form you put out, not mailed, right? So it's already get out in the hall.
And on the website.
Okay, we'll call the question. All in favor of having a special meeting on deed restrictions only Tuesday, March 2nd? March 2nd, 10 a.m. All in favor, raise your right hand. Opposed? Like sign? Carried.
It was 8-0.
The next item.
We're going to be here till 10 o'clock.
updated caregiver for? This is just a report back that it's being worked at, it's being looked at, and there were some suggestions for change, but it's not quite finalized. And the seller checklist application, Bob, was this your idea? Sure. Where did you go? The seller's checklist.
I think it was mine.
not really.
I said something about it before.
I just wanted to be sure who made the suggestion that they get back with Stacy and see where that is, so we might get this off the reminder list, okay? Gatehouse presentation. I don't know who else is still on this committee. At one point, Bev was on it. Then Terry went to it, and so we had to remove one of the people because we can't have two board people on the same committee meeting on issues that would be getting voted on, etc. So I don't know who else has had a hand in this, who should get recognition.
Originally it was Terry and Bev and myself. We of course had to disband because Terry went on the board that was already so, and Bob had
was Mike Ham still on it too? Mike Ham?
Mike Allen.
Okay.
And then my thoughts were that just like you guys are going to have a special meeting for the deed restrictions, that possibly you might want to have a special meeting for a deed committee. Because it's not. You need to first of all, clear the background. Okay, let me start this. Okay. How did you mark me up? You're sitting on this side of the room, I'm sorry. Simply go back to that. So, move to the next one. All right. The objectives of the committee. We go to be, and this was Terry's words, we wanted to be proactive instead of reactive. And our number one reason why we formed this was the safety of our gatekeeper. In meeting with the gatekeeper, we became aware that one out of 10 cars. Speed through the exit, going out of the car, and never slow down. 6 out of 10 cars, and I went out there and watched it this whole time after time. Do not stop at the stop sign. If you slow down at the speed bump, there's no such thing as coming towards the stop by 60% of the car. Two incidents have happened. One, a delivery truck coming into the park, there was 2 or 3 cars in line. He simply thought that the exit gate with another entrance gate, barreled right on through it, and kept going just as the guy was stepping out of the apartment. Okay? Almost done. Within 10 days of that incident, we had another car come in, same exact thing. They just came in back, and that now understanding that it becomes more and more routine, okay, the norm that the incidents are exposed. We all know that we have 8 attendants who are required to walk in front of the lane traffic and they have to stand on narrow ledge of concrete and we're balancing that for the talk. So those were our areas of safety that most of them were looking at. Security. I'm not worried about security of the front entrance. We have no security at a pedestrian walk. Anyone can come in and out of that park anytime, 24 hours a day, I'm not 24. Marty, can you give me the application if you want that? We have four. Okay, here we go. This one here, number seven. Number seven. This is an area currently area right now. This is your guard house right here. This wall here is only 4 foot high. That's absolutely anyone who wants to come through our apartment. It's young, high, agile, however. Come over this, come out of our apartment anytime you want to go out. I'm going to give you a solution to this one. I already got the gate company. This fence that runs along Haverford would be real simple to move from. Where it is now, move back here approximately 25 feet, hook it into this, and we can secure that whole area all the way across there. Marcy, you want to do number 8 here. Sorry, back. Right here, we got it. Number 8, this is just a small area. I don't know the those are quick fixes, guys. I'm just giving examples. All right, so now, looking at option number 2, all right, which we talked about these areas, let's go to the picture. Okay. Okay, currently, this lane is security safety. Go to the next picture, which is number 9. I'm going to try to get these Now we'll be in order. Okay. Number 9 is our pedestrian walkway. Okay. This is an issue that's not being resolved. We can walk with you. All right. Go to the next one. All right. This is how people go out of the park. As you guys know, I've been here 23 years. I've seen where golf carts have been driven out of the park. There's no way to stop. Okay, this one here, of course, is our way in. And this one we have, as everybody knows, a single pole across it. Okay, people pass that one. These are some solutions. I went over the little wall, fixing the area there, and keep going to here we go. I'm not going to give you out. This is an idea that someone else has to do. I would say it needs to be done by engineers. Existing gatehouse. I'm proposing though that we think about coming off of that existing fence, putting a man fence there that would have a keypad, lock it, however you want to do it. Pretty simple to do. Then we would probably run some fence down here where the existing gate is. And I would think to take that gate, instead of when it goes up and down, we would go in and out. It would simply gate. We step back in here, we put another gate in for cars that are going out with the swing gate. Now I'm the guy who's the gate, right? I gotta walk over to here, either walk to a pedestrian to see what's going on, or I'm not walking to this gate to a visitor. I can put the lock on that while I make them walk across the road. And then I don't have to worry about a car coming in or out. Pocket for 20 seconds and make me do what I gotta do. So, this, to me, this is option 2. You know what option 1 was? Nothing. We do nothing. Option 1 is nothing. You do nothing. People say, we live here for 20 years, and I don't spend time. That's option 1. We'll go from 1 and we'll sit down. Okay. So this is option 2. And when people home to think about these options, and this is what I'm going to come back and talk about. Each one is made of car. Okay, let's go to option 3. Okay, option 3 is I would like us to consider reworking the pedestrian walkway into a third lane. Right? And that third lane would be the lane that we would use for visitors. I'm going to show you a sketch in a second. Right? And then the lane, the exit that we, the simply have to take the crosswalk. Can you go down another picture more here? Okay. This is our pedestrian walkway. From this pole, right here, which is the light pole, averaging back in here, so we're not affecting it, I've got 300 feet that I can make an emergency traffic. The average car, 20 feet. Even if I throw a 20 foot trailer on 20 feet, you can see I easily have about six cars in there and have room to do this. So if we put it in here, we put our people going in and out here. This would need to be guardrails so that, you know, 3 feet high, this guy is merging, you can see the traffic here. The exit stays the same, the gate here, we'll put a pedestrian gate on this way, walk across the traffic there instead of walking across the traffic here. We'll come across here and the sidewalk all the way there. So that's just another option. Each one costs you more money. Nothing is crossing up. It's option two, option three. Okay, so now, so a passage. And what we do right now, so you're aware, because of the virus, COVID, we try to have minimal amount of contact with the security people out there. We can put a camera system in that says, hey, you're clear over there. I called in Diane. She comes, she gets out some identification, she flashes it, she's got a camera up there, it takes a picture of the car, the license plate, she goes through, she has now has a day pass. What we do if we need one, the office wasn't happy with the office, but if we want extended passes, they call to the office. They get an extended pass approved in the office, who then calls that out to the security guard. Long-term pass, whatever it is. Okay. I'm suggesting that we eliminate that there. I want a long-term pass to come to the office. This way, the gatekeepers can do their job without a lot of traffic coming out of the office. Okay, option four. Option four. This is the one that, okay. This is an option we think we want to remove the gatekeepers from the entire. We want to go to have 3 lanes of traffic that are monitored by security gates. I do not have the answer. I'm asking, how do I keep people out? What do I do for future security? All I know is there are hundreds and hundreds of cars throughout the country that do this. It's an option, right? Because I'm going to tell you something. Life is vital to all of us. We spend $123,000 a year. Okay. If you think of keeping your real estate, I've got to give you an example. All right, I'm not going to go through the name, but I called in this morning and said, I'm somebody and I'm here to visit. Keep that. I was given a day pass. Use a different name, called in for Sherry Moore. I use a third name and I use Jack Emery's address and I was given a pass. That's three people. We could be in this park, sitting in this meeting for all you know, because I can't call with anybody, but I can call with myself. It does not work. How many people would want to spend money on having a security agency that worked in the park at night time? Would you feel more secure? Okay, if we could hire an agency payment of $123,000, hire an agency that would go park, and when you have a problem, listen, I'm putting right here, you're not going to replace the police. If I'm going to invite somebody to be in the house, okay? The light is going through moonlight court, checking moonlight court out periodically, checking the air gate, checking the front gate, driving by here, going up and down the street. It's an option, guys. And it's not the only money you're going to have in your initial outlay. And I think probably save about $60,000 a year to gatekeepers, and it costs a couple $100,000 a year in 4 years to get paid for themselves. Okay? It's an option. All right. Along with that, one of the things that we always talk about, we're trying to unify the park. I went to
parks nearby. This is a fenced-in area behind it. This is the fenced-in area behind this. This is time we take from CBS to the gatekeeper and say, I want to beautify a park. This is our area. Make this what people see when they come in. And that stigma of the motor, mobile home park, trailer park, begins to go away because, man, it's not right here when I come through it, the park. It has nothing to do with safety, nothing to do with security, but if we're going to spend money on the park, now would be the time to do it. Okay, the last and final option. This was brought to me by people who you are on this committee. And option five is, do you want to look at installing gates that are gates that would be 100% automated, never have a gatekeeper, but it would cut down the traffic at the front. People who live on Holiday Park, when you come in all the way down the center lane, how are you going to leave you? You're going to take a lot of that traffic that speeds up and down that road off of there and bring it in a different way. I went further, I went down and I talked to our county emergency situation people. You understand their offices, their station is at Mid and Emerson. So they, right now, they come down Emerson on to Malabar, from down Malabar to Holiday Park and community in the park. This would be a major time, life-saving time for them to be able to come in for a time. I say no delivery will ever be allowed in there with the exception of mobile homes. But something to consider, we've come a long way since 1970. It's time to look at some of these other options. And I myself, I think everybody's please, I know you have questions. I'm not allowed to go today. But I would like to warn you.
So, is option one, we would still fix the areas at no cost.
Fix what?
Those small areas, the openings. The one you talked about.
Yeah. Option one, that would be coming to option two. No, that would be coming to option two.
Oh, so nothing is nothing, and that first thing you talked about would be in the rest of the option.
Yeah. My opinion is yes. Option one is spread over the thing, everybody says the gate is short. Do whatever you want. Option two is say, do I want to do parts of option two? Okay, how's that for you? I hope you had time to call me up. I'll tell you what the options are. I'll go through. I think it's important. Think about it. You know what I mean? This is what we need to be. We need to go home and say, hey, let's think about this. I don't want to jump in and stuff. I'm sorry. We can do that anymore. Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to do this.
Bob, I have a request. Can we, as a board, get copies of your presentation?
The office has
flash drive.
Yes. The office has a copy of the flash drive, and I have mine. So we have two of them.
Well, I thought it would be a good idea to have a copy of it because I don't know if I can find my way through all these notes.
I'm surprised you guys didn't get a copy of that. I'm surprised you didn't get a copy of this presentation.
Yeah, so in the office space, 9, we've got 8, we've got 8 last night.
Sure, in our spare time? No. Of course we can, yes.
I think that should be one of the first now we have a research if we take that last slide or come down here and sit in the office and look at it and do it there. Jerry Morgo, the chief way to so she has a song.
Okay. Sherry, do you have anything to share with us about us?
I don't have anything specifically. Stacy does have my book where I wrote everything, where I am, I've been disapproved reading myself. She did not get that until so I'm sure she's working on that now. Hopefully we'll have it in draft form prior to the next meeting.
Okay. According to my sheet, we're on number 10, public comments. Pardon me? We just did E. Well, we don't have an ACC, so we're done. Leave me, we're done. Public comments.
I have two questions. One, the meeting minutes and nothing. I think there was December 28th meeting was not approved. The meeting minutes were not approved.
I don't know. I'd have to check that.
Please do.
Yeah.
Can I respectfully ask to be put on the agenda for the March 22nd meeting for a PDOA? We will be. You, somebody, secretary, I think, will be swearing in the new members of the APDOA.
At the later meeting, not at the workshop meeting?
The 8th or the
20th? Got it.
All right, thank you.
Next.
Then this will be, and we'll reject some far away. I'm a representative.
Yeah, I've sent the invoices and I was waiting for the last of them to come. Some folks had to come back from up north, so it was sent in last month with all of the invoices. As I recall, I believe we've already paid for your plat service. Yeah, and what he did is he not only checked the Freon, but he did you a service and we paid for it. So now we have an issue with the stucco, correct? All right, well, all I have to follow up with it. They have been sent. I emailed that to them, so I will follow up with that. I really don't think we're going to get anything, and we may have to litigate. And this will be presented to the board if the board wants to reimburse everybody, and we can fight them on our own to try to get reimbursed for the damages. It will be presented to the board. That's not a decision that I want to make or I can make. So all I can tell you is it's in the process and it's in the hands of U.S. Lawns. I will become more aggressive, and again, I will submit this to the board for their decision. Right. I had to wait for you to get back from Canada. I had to wait for some others as well. I didn't want to send one invoice in at a time. I waited until I got all. So it has been submitted. And again, I will give this to the board for their decision, probably at the next workshop meeting. That'll give them plenty of time to respond to me again.
So is there a master list, Cherie, that...
Yes.
How much repairs and how total of what a U.S. lawn would owe?
Yes.
$1,007,194. As I know, we have a full chart for people to be paying their homes. Is anything being done about the people that are paying? about even looking at the color chart. We have purple, we have yellow, we have green, we have pink. What's the purpose of a color chart? The color that's what we were going to go by.
I would expect that that's something that's dealt with by ACC. We set the color chart.
If you see somebody painting an appropriate, inappropriate color, please let the office know so they can, you know, check it out.
If this was done during the summer.
Yeah, I just aim to see it.
I mean, you can't miss the program. Right on the sense of payment. Thank you all.
Trim. So.
Oh, this is fun.
I wanted to remind people that the first quarter for this year will be going in just after the section of publication is deadline for the money of once a month of the month, which is the reason why we want to work with our project. Please call me. Also, I'm getting an updated cost for anybody that's interested in getting the benches.
So you said
bricks? Bricks, memorial bricks for our garden out front. And they're not just memorial bricks, they're natural bricks. Lots of things that are people putting out there, they're not just for the memory of someone. One thing comes to mind is our little piece of paradise and the name. Another thing that I would like to remind Sheree is that the notes for the signs coming into and out of the park, at least by the beginning of March, need to be put out for people that are feeding. And the last time we had last year, that took us a lot because we didn't read it. So that's the
No, we don't get it notarized. They have to get it from the doctor's office. The doctor's license number has to be on it along with the doctor's signature, who, of course, the caregiver is, and, of course, who the person is that is getting the caregiver.
Okay, thanks. And the second one is that when you send out letters in the summer to people who have, you know, they're having their houses and stuff and stuff like that, do you send them to their addresses that they're at so that they can address them? Or do you just send them to their homes here?
No, we try to send them up north. I had a little issue with Lou. When Lou worked here, he wasn't real familiar with FilePro, and we had to resend a lot of them. He wasn't familiar with the park and so forth. So, but we do absolutely try to send them up north. But we're not going to have that problem this year, right? Some of them did, yes. Yeah. That's why the census is good, too. You know, so we know when you're here and where we can mail stuff. So keep that in mind as well. Thank you.
and I know it's only a few months ago. Just a quick question about the audio files that are posted on the website. The only one that I've been in almost 2 years, the only one that I've ever been all of them, are the ones that have done from Zoom, or not from Zoom. The file was posted at the last meeting. It's, you know, if I just load them on a computer or go to the website, you can't get anything, there's nothing on it. However, there's a free sound that I'm going around, and about 10 minutes of instruction, you could boost the volume on that and make it so people can actually hear it. Or, depending on what you've done with your recording.
So, Diane, you're saying that when we put the stick in here, in the audio system here, it's not, if you can't hear it?
The file that was on the website, if you pull it up on the computer from the last meeting,
right.
I can vouch for that because I had to re-listen to get minutes corrected on paper from what I had in my notes. And it's
a bear. This should be brought up to the board. Understanding we still are in this awful pandemic, but are we going to continue with the Zoom meetings and also in-person meetings? I think that's something that if we are going to continue, then we need to definitely get someone in here to help us, because I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not technologically capable of setting up the Zoom and this, where everything is perfect on both ends. I don't know how to do it. And if we're going to continue with both, then we need to do it right. It's half-assed right now. I know it.
Well, the only other issue I'm talking about, this is not a Zoom issue.
But before we had Zoom, we did it with the stick, and we were okay.
Go back and listen to some of those
files. Maybe it is something with our website, because I know for a fact when we had recorded them previously, when I was here, they were fine. So I will check with our web designer.
You mean on your own computer at home? There's
or somebody in the office if you will get to send the
office.
Put once and send it to the website. Gotcha. Okay. Want to share that website with us?
I'm bringing this up because somebody asked me to bring it up. Somebody just moved in the car within the last week, and I don't know how to fix the problem. They came to the office, they bought the property through a realtor, so the realtor handled the transaction. So they made it, they went home, they thought they're all ready to go. They came down to the office and said, sorry, you're not. And they were told, did you read your book? They had never got bored. So somehow we must get these reorders going on. But more importantly, the revitalization is on their house. And they're not allowed to get a pass in the house. They're told they can't use the clubhouse until these violations are fixed. Now you just buy a house, you don't know this. There's no disclosure. Not quite sure where this is going to go into the gray line for them. Once again, these realtors must be trained, and that money would somehow be deposited or something. This happened to be the one right across the street from Blossom. I'm not sure what they were supposed to be from there. Where it turned out, it was all damage was caused by weed whackers. You know, vinyl all the way around is how it was in it. And that's enough of an attraction that they did not get their pass to come in or be able to use it. I don't have the answer to that. I think that one.
The owner, they
don't do anything. How do the whole person who bought it responsible?
That's up to them. When they buy it, we're not a real estate company. Okay, when the owner sells it, it's incumbent on the real estate person, seller, buyer, representative, and the buyer it's contingent on them to make sure. When I go out and I inspect sometimes, and it's happening more often than I'd like to even say, is the sale's already done. The owner's gone. They're gone with their money, and then the new purchaser.
They don't even know what's there. Okay? We, before we order, comes in to sell the house. They've got to come to you. As I said, they got to come to you and say, I'm selling the
house. Yes, okay? They're supposed to submit an application. Everybody. I'm agreeing with you. No. We're on the same page. How do we prevent this?
I'm throwing out. So then
you know?
The person that buys it is stuck.
Yes, they are.
Okay? That's hardly fair.
Well, then they need to do their due diligence when they're purchasing.
What due diligence would there be? I'm trusting my realtor.
You go out and you inspect the place yourself. You have an inspector. You pay the $250 to have them come in and inspect the inside.
That is a violation of those places.
Well, if I buy a place, I want to see what I'm buying. If I see mold, if I see holes in the screen, if I see the screens are all ripped up, a busted window, I see trees grown out of the gutters, I'm not going to buy. I'm going to make sure they're held accountable and they fix it before I buy it. I mean, that's just me, you know, it's totally unfair to the purchasers. It really is.
Outside the park that this is restricted property, and they would have a line that says you need to support the resident or owner in the park from the office. Or you need to
every year owner that comes in here, they get to that gate.
Absolutely.
Every year owner that comes in here, that's how they got to come to an announcement. So she began to come to them. Before you can go and show this property, you must go to the office. And then they're in the rules and regulations.
They do. They're supposed to do that, Bob. And you know what's terrible is we have repeat offenders, and I think if they keep repeating it, they're not going to be allowed to do this. Yeah. And they'd be people you'd be very surprised to hear who they are.
People from Japan, where they got weed whacked around their and none of them came here.
KK, we try to address that on an individual basis. When we catch them, like right now with the transition, I know it's been a while, but now we're like, well, who did it? U.S. laws are flawless, so we have several issues that we're dealing with.
Joe,
a little bit of this one suggestion. We have rules about washing power, washing their houses, making them clean. You don't need to clean, you get a violation. I'd like to also suggest add to that your driveway. Right around the park. Some of the driveways are totally black, horrible looking. The house is nice and clean, but the driveways look terrible. I think that would be part of Operation Clean Sweeps. But in my opinion, it should be a violation. If you have a black, dirty driveway, they should make you clean that. Number two, just to carry on from a previous meeting, I made a suggestion about having an email blast for the park, where you can send out an email to all residents, making sure that it's not very important, that it go out to every resident and owner of the park, an email blast.
Anything else from the public? If not, let's see if the board has anything to add.
Hello.
Hi, Derek.
So, your information, the actual issue was to let you know that when you submit your application for the application, you need to make a meeting. Next meeting, I can see that I'm going to show up. If not, I'm going to show up. You're going to find out if I'm going to show up.
I can't hear it. What'd you say? I didn't hear
what that would be up to the board. It's not mandatory here. No, it's not. We checked this. Well, if that's true, then please submit. Perfect.
And it's called the Recreation Center.
That's fine. Just bring it on up and we'll, you know, I'll present it to the board and it's something maybe we should research. The last time I think it was Bob Shearer, actually, a couple years ago, we brought it up and, yeah, we certainly want to be in compliance with the ADA. So if you have any information like that, certainly bring it to our attention. Thank you.
The secretary would like clarification on what the issue is. She doesn't have it.
I couldn't hear you. Okay.
The steps on the second pool are possible. Can you get in to pick it up?
Yes.
If the pool is okay, but that third car pool is not, you cannot get it around. So, you know, this one is not okay.
Hey, this way, you only need one lift. Okay, there's one lift. I can put the post in on either side, so I can use it in this pool, and then the maintenance guy can lift it out and put it in the other pool. Okay, you buy it out. You only have to get spend money for one lift, not two. And the service is over two.
Okay. And you get a tax break. I checked that also. Because I found that I had no money issues with doing the if you put up a tax, you get a tax break. You're not taxed more. Joanne Loria, 91 Boston. Why can't we do our exercises in a little pool? People think that we're doing it because it's fun. There are people like me, we need to be doing the exercise in the little pool. We did it all summer with no problem. We get in the little pool and we're told we couldn't do it. There were three people in this car, and nobody had that easy to call us out if we couldn't do it. Somebody told me that we couldn't do it. I don't even know.
I said to the girls in the office, I said, oh, I haven't seen the mermaids out there. I wonder why they stopped.
Well, we were told, Beverly Craig is the one that told me personally we couldn't do it because supposedly it came from the board. I am very upset about it because I need that exercise.
Diane, excuse me for one second. I think there was a meeting a couple months back when they did decide that they were going to suspend the exercises for a while. Okay, maybe this is something the board needs to revisit. I don't know. No one has the answers. We just want everybody to be safe. Understanding you all need to exercise, however, with the park now. Okay.
I'm very upset about it.
I understand. I can see that.
I've been leading it since I've lived here. And I've been here since 2004. We need it. I need it. People need it.
Maybe you can have two classes a day, you know, where you don't have 10 and one, maybe like six, and then maybe an hour later have another six. You just tell me we'll do whatever you guys want.
Okay. At one meeting with the virus was really bad coming here, okay? We had decided that the pool classes would be canceled right now because we didn't want to grow that close to each other and
catching anything. So we've decided to close it down. If you would like us to get it reopened for you now that the pool is warm, I think Sherry was tomorrow.
It's really not my decision to make. I think it's logical. The board, we all discussed it with the pandemic. And now with everybody coming down from up north, I think we need to be cognizant and really be careful. If you, I think the exercise is fine. I don't think 15 women in a pool is fine. I think you should have two classes. You know, people who choose to have it in the cold pool, fine. But if you're going to continue with the warm pool, split it up and have two different classes.
Right now,
I think that would work for you guys.
We have more than 11 people. We had 4 people looking in the big pool, and we still say so.
Yeah.
And those people paid for, when I did 11 help, we got people from the summer fair.
Yeah.
The people, you know, I didn't hear you about the guys who need their exercise.
Well, like I said, you know, the board needs to think about this, and you know, it's not my decision.
Oh, if somebody says go ahead and do it, I will talk to the other 3 leaders, 4 leaders that are here right now.
Would you consider having two classes?
I think so.
Could you have other girls that can teach the classes too besides yourself?
Right? Four of us right now are that can teach.
Perfect.
You tell me
what you need. I'm here. You tell me what you need.
Right now, we are getting a lot of people coming in this pool. The other day, it was like standing room only in there, and I was very upset about it. And I've asked to have the other pool open, but they don't want to do it yet. So we're still working on it because of the virus. Okay, dear? But if you want to take and say to me, tell me what days you want to have your class.
Well, I want to probably go back Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Can you stop just maybe 2 days a week? Would that be okay?
2 days a week. Two is better than none.
No, I think 3 days a week is fine. My concern is the size of the people, the number of the classes. That's all. You know?
Okay, let's back up a little bit. I was told we could go in and exercise. I was also told we could go in the pool, but it was going to be for the people that live in this park and not visitors. And one day we're down here and somebody had a grandchild in when we're trying to relax and enjoy it, and this child was screaming and yelling and everything. So I think it's just, I was very upset about that. You say you can go back in for a
minute. My decision is the board's decision.
Well, right now we're discussing this. Would that be all right for you? Because the pool right now is open to everybody else starting at 10 o'clock. Right, but we'd let you go in at 9.
I think
a little bit later. No. I think 9 o'clock is too early because if we have an issue with the chemicals, the pool right now opens at 8:30. So for the staff to come in at 7:30 even, or 7?
No.
I'm talking about the staff. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the staff getting the pool ready and just make sure that the chemicals are balanced and so forth. I think a little bit later for you guys to use it would be 9:30, give us a full hour in case we have to add chemicals or anything.
9:30, yeah, okay. And then like I said, you'll have one more. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if you want. I mean, there's not that many people come down too early in the morning.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks very much. You're
welcome. Yes. May I speak to that, Jack? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I should
be sent
Molly Park. Today is February 22nd, 2021. The last time anything was updated on the website as far as notification as to what was going on with the park included, clubhouse or whatever. And this coincides with the aquatic class that they had on the site. It says here on November 17th, but it's February 22nd. The pool remained open at all time. All aquatic exercise plans have been canceled. So, they were told by then, they were canceled, and said since. The next thing it says, the pool is open to residents only. This is the decision of the Board of Trustees. This will remain in effect for further notice. So, is it in effect or isn't it in effect? Was it never in effect where I was told by someone sitting on the board that they put it there, but you can't put it into effect because you're not allowed to do that? So, very misleading. I think this should be updated a little bit more often with accurate information so everybody knows what's going on and we're on the same page. Thank you very much.
Cheryl.
Well, Cherie was going to say.
I apologize for that. We've had a lot of change in the staffing administratively, and I will definitely have more of a handle on it. That's not my choice, and at this time, I don't think so. Let's address the exercise thing first. I think the guests using the pool was a deterrent. I don't believe we can enforce that. That was just, like I said, a deterrent.
Cheryl.
Oh, stop.
Ron, I was going to say that same thing. Let's figure out how many people can fit in there. I was going to say 9, so your measurements are probably better than 9.
The numbers of class.
I would also suggest if you have more than people,
but if there's more than the 9
that want in there, or 12, why can't the exercise class meet every day if they want? They're having
to limit
the size.
One group can meet
Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, another group on Tuesday, Thursday. Why are we saying,
first of all, what time does the pool open that I can come up here and go swimming first thing in the morning?
8:30.
So the information on the website is correct.
Okay.
And it is still closed to exercise class. So
that is correct. And
we still say no visitors to the pool.
Well, legally, I guess that's what we can't say. But if I brought my grandbabies up here,
somebody would be going like this. So,
you know what? I'm not even going to go there.
You know me.
I feel
more things should be open anyway. I've always felt that. I think the exercise people should.
Do we have to vote on this because we voted?
Close it?
Have to
say.
Right.
That's on my list.
Yeah, I think it's on my list.
repeat what I'm told to repeat.
True.
I think we've exhausted it. At least I'm exhausted. Looking for a motion to adjourn. I'll move.
Well. Thank you, Bob and Marsha, for putting up with him.
Thank you for putting up with him, Skip.
I hear you.
Thank you. I'm not a quitter, but I definitely want to do this.